We are all in need of words of encouragement, aren't we, brothers and sisters? I'll ask Brother Paul to now come forward and give us those words of exhortation.
Thank you, Brother Joe. Very good morning, everybody. So it's by faith that you and I have come here this morning, isn't it? We've just read, haven't we, that it was by faith that these great men and women of old did the things they did. And we have a wonderful list, don't we, for us in Hebrews chapter 11. And it's by faith that we came here this morning. It's by faith that we were baptized. We believed, didn't we, the message, the gospel message. We had that conviction, and it's by faith that we were baptized. However long ago that may have been, and it's by faith that we have lived out our lives ever since. Sometimes that faith would have been so strong, and other times it may have seemed, well, almost non-existent. But either way, we've kept going, haven't we? And we've come here today through faith. And what is faith? Well, Hebrews 11 tells us, doesn't it? Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yet our faith is built on our hope, isn't it? That we believe and hope for the kingdom of God. It's motivated by the hope that springs from the precious promises contained in this book, the promises that were made to people like Abraham, who read about this morning. And those promises were made sure by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and gave his life for us. And it's his sacrifice, isn't it, that we're here today to remember. And we sometimes say we've come here on a Sunday to remember Jesus, as if we're coming to a funeral service, a memorial service of one who is dead. And of course, we do come to remember Jesus. We come to remember his sacrifice, don't we? But Jesus is not dead. He's very much alive and active in our lives. We've been reading, haven't we, through Hebrews. We've been seeing how the Lord Jesus is our high priest. He is active in our lives. It's through his sacrifice and through his work as high priest that we have access to the Father, that we can come together and that we can have forgiveness and the hope that we have. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that one who will sympathize with us because he's lived this life. He knows what it feels like to be tried and tempted as we are. And so we can put our faith in the Lord Jesus. He is active in our lives. He's not dead. He is alive. Verse 6 of chapter 11 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith is vitally important, isn't it? Now, maybe the trials of this current life are hard for us to bear. You know, life isn't always easy, and that can impact our faith, can't it? And you say, well, my faith is really low at the moment. You know, things aren't going so well. Maybe the journey seems longer than we ever imagined it would. I know I certainly imagined that didn't think we'd still be here in 2022. I thought Jesus would have been back, you know. But here we are. It does seem a long time, doesn't it? We have to maintain that faith, don't we? Well, maybe our faith has become weak as we're distracted by the influence of the thinking of the world around us. There's lots of ideas, aren't there, out there, that challenge our faith, challenge the things that we believe. The world isn't moving closer to God, is it? It's moving further away, isn't it? And that can be challenging, can't it? We have to sort of, you know, be able to stand up for our beliefs. But we see everybody else going the opposite way. But God doesn't change, does he? God is faithful. God remains the same, and his ways remain the same. And it's why it's so important that we come together at times like this, isn't it? To rekindle our faith. Yes, maybe our faith is as small as a grain of mustard seed. Yet what did Jesus say about that? He said, if you have a faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, you can remove mountains. It can move mountains. Seemingly impossible obstacles can be removed or overcome when we put our full faith in our God. And that's why it's important, isn't it? We come to strengthen our faith and to share in these things together. It reminds us of the precious hope that we share. It helps us realize we're not alone as well, doesn't it, in believing the truth. There are others who share that hope, because faith and hope are completely bound up together. If we go back to chapter 10, which obviously precedes chapter 11, Paul is talking there, or I say Paul, the writer to the Hebrews, is talking there about these things, about faith. In verse 19, he says there, "Brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God," that's what we were saying, wasn't he? "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." So we have that faith. We come with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And we come to remember the means that our bodies are washed. It was through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Let us hold on to the confession of our hope." So we have faith, we have hope here, don't we? "Without wavering. For he who promised is faithful." Yes, the Lord our God is faithful. He doesn't change, and he will deliver his promises. He always does. And we often say, don't we, Paul wrote, didn't he, about faith, hope, and love. And from the faith we have has to come the love, doesn't it? And if we carry on verse 24, we read, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." So, yeah, we have to be motivated. Our faith has to motivate us to love, doesn't it, as the Lord Jesus has loved us. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And so that is why we're here, isn't it? To exhort one another as we see the day approaching. So we have faith, we have hope, we have love. Faith, we place our trust in our Heavenly Father. Hope, we have a hope of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And love, the actions, it's the fruit of the actions, isn't it, that we're motivated to do by our wish to faithfully follow our Lord and Master. And it's so important that we have to show our faith through the love that we have for our God. And one of the ways we do that, of course, is by showing their love to one another, isn't it? First of John chapter 4. So First John chapter 4, verse 12. "For no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him." And then verse 20, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. But he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, well, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" So that's a strong exhortation, isn't it? You know, we've got this faith, and the actions and the fruit of that faith is born out in love. And so we have to love not just God, but love one another who we see. So that's a powerful exhortation. Now, surely, if we truly believe the word and are trying to put it into practice, then we must show that love to those around us, the way we speak to each other, the way we act. We've been shown the most wonderful gift of love, haven't we, through the loving sacrifice of our Lord. And so we need to manifest that too in our lives. Now, one brother I know well once said to me, It's not until you're faced with the death of a loved one, someone who's fallen asleep in Christ, that you truly put your faith in God. And I think what he was trying to say is that if we know someone who falls asleep in the Lord, it could be a relative or a very close friend, our faith is real when we truly expect to see them again in the kingdom. And Jesus certainly had that faith, didn't he? It was real to Jesus. Just come back to Mark chapter 5. As Jesus wasn't afraid of death, he had faith. He believed in the power of the resurrection. In Mark chapter 5, we have the account of the little girl who was restored to life. We come across it in verse 21. So Jesus has come crossed over again by boat to the other side, and a great multitude gathers to him. And then one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live." So he had faith, didn't he, in the Lord Jesus, that he could heal his daughter. He could prevent her from dying. You know, if we're in a situation where one of our children was at the point of death, we'd want an ambulance there as quickly as possible, wouldn't we? So Jesus has to kind of get through the crowd to this girl. But on the way through, he doesn't rush in a way, does he? He stops to deal with a poor lady who's had a flow of blood for 12 years, as we read in verse 25. And he stops and he realizes that she's touched him, and he stops and he deals with her, and he heals that that situation, doesn't he, for her. So he's in the meantime, that this poor little girl is very, as we know, seriously ill at the point of death. And then in verse 35 comes the message, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler, "Do not be afraid, only believe." So Jesus had the faith. He knew that he could heal this girl, bring her back to life. The people around him didn't have that faith, did they? They laughed at him, didn't they? And he said, "Well, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed him to scorn. But Jesus understood that sin and death, they're all connected. And he could heal people and he could bring people back to life. And so he goes in, doesn't he? He took the child by the hand in verse 41 and said to her, "Talitha kumai," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately little girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. So she was old enough to be able to walk. It's what we're being told there. And everybody's amazed. But the Lord Jesus, for him, death was just another disease or consequence of sin and human nature that needed to be cured. He was able to deal with it. If you just go back to Matthew chapter 11, thinking of how Jesus views death, because he has faith. Matthew 11 and verse 2, we have here the account when Jesus sent his disciples to Christ. And he says, when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" But then Jesus answered and said to him, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk." So there's two miracles that Jesus taught. The lepers are cleansed and deaf hear, more miracles. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. So Yeah, you see it, don't you? Jesus is saying there that all these miracles, the dead being raised, people being healed, that they're all connected. They're all part of human nature. They're all the things that Jesus came to do and was able to do. Of course, he wasn't raising people to everlasting life at this point. He couldn't do that, could he? Because he was going to be the first fruits of them that slept. Jesus would be the one who would be the first one to be raised to eternal life. But at this point, he could raise people from the dead. And we have the most powerful example, don't we, in the gospel through John. If we go to John chapter 11, we read about Lazarus. So John chapter 11. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with the fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. And so somebody came to the Lord Jesus and says, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." So Lazarus was sick. And Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So he's saying it's not unto death, and yet we know that he died, don't we? But we also know the outcome, don't we, that he was raised from the dead. And, you know, again, Jesus delays going back, doesn't he? And he tells his disciples that this man, Lazarus, is asleep. And they say, "Well, that's good then, because he'll get some rest and then he'll get better." And he said, no, he's not asleep. He is dead. He tells them plainly, he is dead. "And I'm glad for your sakes I was not there, that you may believe." And so his disciples, perhaps somewhat confused, follow him as he goes back to Jerusalem. Bethany, which is near Jerusalem, isn't it? Where they knew he was in danger himself, to visit Mary and Martha. And when he gets there, he meets Martha, doesn't he? And she, you know, is saying, if you'd only been here, he wouldn't have died. You know, she knew, she had a faith in Jesus that he could heal, but she couldn't believe that after 3 days he could rise again. But Jesus says to her, "Your brother will rise again." Well, she says, "I know." Verse 24, "I know he'll rise again at the resurrection, at the last day." She believed in the resurrection. Jesus had taught her about that. And Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she says, "Yes, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming to the world." This is all about faith, isn't it? Jesus then goes to the grave, doesn't he? And he sees Mary. And verse 33, "Therefore Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." So he could see and feel the impact of loss and grief in this situation. He could see how people felt about it. And we know that Jesus wept. And the Jews said in verse 36, "See how he loved him." So Jesus was moved by this situation. And yet, we know that Jesus knew that he would rise again. And so he comes, verse 40, doesn't he? "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" And the stone is removed, and Lazarus comes forth. Incredible miracle, isn't it? So Jesus had no fear of death. Even when he faced it himself, he knew that he would rise again. He understood the loss, the sense of loss, the sense of grief and sadness associated with it. He could see it in the people around him. He knows it in us too. But he also knew of the joy of the resurrection. And he was able to, you know, imagine the joy that was there when Lazarus came out and people saw him raised and able to hug him and welcome him back into the family again. And Jesus, when he died, he knew about the joy of the resurrection, didn't he? It was for the joy that was set before him that he went through the things he went through. So we have that wonderful joy of the resurrection. And faith is very much tied up with patience too, isn't it? It's what we've seen with all those faithful men and women mentioned in Hebrews 11. All of them believed God and hoped in his promises. And while many received some of the blessings in their lives, some suffered terribly, didn't they? And all of them had to wait for a time when they would receive their ultimate blessing, that blessing of eternal life and an everlasting inheritance. We've read of Job, haven't we, this morning, and all the suffering that he went through. And yet Job was able to say, wasn't he, I know that my Redeemer lives and I will see him face to face. He knew that he would be raised again. Whatever happened, whatever terrible things happen in this life, we have a great hope, don't we? And Job knew that. And all these faithful men and women of old knew it too. And we read about them, don't we, in Hebrews. So they had terrible times, many of them. And verse 36, still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Terrible things. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. But they all had faith, and they all knew that whatever happens in this life, it's nothing because of the joy of the resurrection to come. And all these, verse 39, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us or without us. We will be together with all these people. It's by faith that they did the things they did. It's by faith that we're doing the things that we do. We're not all, you know, we don't all get called to do great things like the people we read about in the scriptures. They are our inspiration. We're not necessarily going to do great things, but we're doing our bit, aren't we? We're keeping that faith and we're keeping going. And that's the important message. And the message we're getting from these passages is that if we put our faith in Christ and keep waiting patiently, we need not fear death. Isn't that wonderful? Just go back to Luke and chapter 21. It's the chapter where the disciples have asked the Lord Jesus, we know, about the time of the end. And in verse 16, Jesus says to them, look, Luke 21, verse 16, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated for all by my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By patience, possess your souls. So yeah, he's saying there, some of you will be put to death, is what he's saying to his disciples, and yet not one hair of your head will be lost. So yeah, death and its consequences through the Lord Jesus Christ, through what he's done for us, what we come to remember this morning, we have that hope. Not a hair of our head will be lost. I haven't got too many hairs to lose, but I'm pleased to say that, you know, God cares about us so much, doesn't he? He cares about those small things. And I have, and you have, the hope of the resurrection and that faith. That's why you're here this morning. That's why I'm here. So we need to continue, don't we, in our faith, brothers and sisters. By faith, we've come here this morning to remember our high priest, who has given us access to the Lord, our God. And our God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. Jesus said that, didn't he? He's not the God of the dead. But all these men and women we're reading about in Hebrews, they're going to be resurrected with us. At that time, we'll be together. That's what we're learning, isn't it? He's not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. And the message in chapter 12 that we'll read tomorrow is that we have a God that we can place our trust in. And truly, Jesus is alive and will return to raise the faithful from the dead and we will all share in eternal life together with him. So brothers and sisters, let's keep our eyes on the prize and keep our faith and remember the sacrifice of the one that made it all possible. And I'd like to finish just with those words in Hebrews chapter 12. Thinking about that cloud of witnesses, all these men and women that have lived before us, in faith, they've done these things. In faith, you've done the things that you do. You know, we're not all perfect. We struggle, but we have that faith, even if it's as small as a grain of mustard seed. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all these people, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So it is a race and it is a struggle, isn't it? But we've been told, you know, when you're running, you don't want to be carrying things you don't need to weigh you down and slow you down. Throw them to one side. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we long for the day when he will return. Thank you, brothers and sisters.